Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back from the All-Star break, and welcome to the podcast that in this year's NHL Podcast All-Star Game Skills Competition set the bar with the hottest take. It was Mark with a take of 274 degrees. Mark, congratulations on the big win.
You know, sometimes you just flip a couple coins and you get the right answer.
We all thought that David Castillo's Radek Foxes should play defense take was going to take it, but it just didn't quite come through.
David doesn't have luck on his side like I do.
That's right.
All he has to do is to depend on skill, and skill only gets you so far.
It can get you there, but it won't get you over, as they say. It's going to be a podcast. We're going to talk about some hockey. We've got some games coming up starting at Sunday as we record this. So we've got a Tuesday night tilt against the old foe Buffalo Sabres as the Stars begin the stretch run. There are some storylines, maybe not some urgent, immediate right now storylines, but there's plenty going on. So we're going to talk a little bit about where the team sits right now. We're going to talk about what could happen moving forward, what the team might do at the trade deadline. We're going to talk about some standout stellar performances, positional groups, everything and anything. And before we get to all of that, Mark, I did have one quick stat-based question for you.
Okay, the Dallas bring it.
The Dallas Stars have one player in the top 10 in the NHL in 5-on-5 scoring. Who is that player?
I'm going to guess Tyler Seguin.
It is Tyler Seguin with 32 points at 5-on-5 through 49 games. For bonus points, if without looking, where does Tyler Seguin rank on the Dallas Stars in terms of overall scoring?
I'm going to say maybe fifth.
Oh, my goodness. Two for two. He sits fifth.
Sweet.
With 39 points. He's right behind Joe Pavelski. And then, of course, Duchesne, Hintz, and Jason Robertson. So he is continues to have a resurgent season as a part of that line, and notably doing it without a ton of extra, you know, special teams offense. So it's a fun one. Wanted to get started. And
well, here. I have a trivia question for you then.
Let's do it.
What former or current Texas Star just tied for the hardest shot in the AHL skills contest?
Ooh, former or current Texas Star?
Yes.
Oh, that's a brutal twist. Okay, I think. Whew. I'm blanking. Let's see. It's not one of the forwards. It's probably a defenseman?
It is not a defenseman.
Matt Fraser?
Oh, no. Riley Tufte.
Riley Tufte, really?
And your first reaction is Riley Tufte is an all-star?
I mean, well, my first reaction was I thought he was with Colorado playing on the depth.
Well, you know, he's spending most of his time down with the Eagles. So,
all right.
Yeah, but okay. Well, he's bringing it. You always have to go with the 6-7 leverage on hard shots.
You can't teach size, Mark. You can't teach size.
Well, you can't teach height. I am living proof that you can teach size.
Oh, man, it's been such a rough winter. I feel the same way. Oh, man. It's also
anyway, let's get back to some star stuff here.
Yeah, we'll get back to some star stuff. We do want to introduce we've got a new sponsor here heading down the stretch run. So we're going to get a little bit of quick bill paying in and bear with us, guys. It is playoff time and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. And our partner, BetOnline, is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines. Mark, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of Gatorade, BetOnline is the number one source for your championship wagering. Head to BetOnline and join today to get into all the action. BetOnline, the game starts here.
And I understand the smart money is on the orange Gatorade.
Smart money. It's not the best flavor. I'm more of a fruit punch guy, but I think you're right. Orange is the traditional favorite. KT chiming in from the chat, licks blue flavor. I'll accept that as well. What is it? The cool cherry, I think it is. Whatever. That's my kid's go-to is the blue, and it's pretty good to have it in the fridge.
I just drink blue. All of it.
Okay. The flavor is just blue. It's like Ken. He is beach. His job is beach. The flavor is blue.
Okay, right. So let's talk. Let's Jake Ottinger is an all-star goaltender and, in fact, looked like an all-star goaltender in Toronto.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. Had a couple of key blocks. I loved the little bit during the skills competition. Elias Pettersson picked him to shoot against because apparently Otter was talking some trash at dinner. And I think he held his own, at least. I think Taylor had the best quote. It's, you know, as a goaltender going into All-Star weekend, you kind of just hope that you don't hurt yourself and you hope you don't get shelled. And it seems like Otter was able to accomplish both of those things.
Yeah. And everybody else got to take a well-earned vacation, which might be preferable.
Yeah. I mean, he's, I guess, been injured for a while. It's not exactly a vacation. So maybe at this point, just playing is something he likes. I know there was with Swayman and a couple of the other goalies, there was a Boston hockey connection going on. So yeah, he was an all-star. He looked like an all-star. The key question, I think, for the Stars, Mark, is do you think he's going to look like an all-star down the stretch?
Well, he's going to need to look like an all-star because we've seen what the Dallas Stars defense is allowing. So we need to get some kind of save percentage up in, oh, let's say even minimally the 905, 910 range and get a little bit of that swagger back. And once we do that, the Stars have an offense that can win games.
Yeah, and he's a little bit, you know, the last time we did this, I think he was around -5. Goals saved above expected. If you look at Money Puck, it's still not great, friendo. He's sitting at a -3.5 right between Spencer Martin and Jack Campbell, which is not company you want to keep in 2024 in the NHL. His save percentage has hit 900, which is good. The goals against is still 304. It's been he started off on a heater, right? Then did the opposite, then got hurt, and he's been, I think, better lately, but to your point, right, he's not exactly playing behind, you know, a don't let anything happen defense.
Yeah, this is no longer the Rick Bonus special here. It's not like we're just clamping everything down. We're sending forwards out on stretch passes and playing a little fast and loose with the puck, and so the defense really needs to tighten it down a little bit or else we're going to get into trouble.
Yeah, they do a little bit. I mean, it is a good point, Mark. Yes, you need to get him rolling and we need to get that expected goals. And, you know, it does need to get tighter, but the team is, you know, second in their division. They're nipping at the heels of the Colorado Avalanche. Although I take that back there. When Dallas was trailing, but ahead on points percentage, I use that. So I'm going to amend that. They're sitting technically third. Winnipeg was 6-9-1, threatening to run away with things. Colorado 6-8-4, Dallas was 6-7-3. So they're in the mix, but they are technically third place in the division if you go by point percentage. Three-game winning streak heading into the break. So they're a good team. So my question is the answer that you lock it down, or does this team need to be free-flowing to be successful?
I think this team needs to be free-flowing. That's the new nature of this group. And so I think what it means is that Ottinger needs to not necessarily have that save percentage up in the, you know, 92-93% range, which is something that you potentially could do under bonus, but keep it in something reasonable. And what you need to worry about is the difference between expected goals and goals allowed, because Dallas is going to give up some goals. And the question is, can they outscore that?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is quite definitively yes.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, that number doesn't look as horribly. So if you look at the goals against, right, his goals against average is 304. If you look at his expected goals against, 291. So yeah, he needs to tighten it up a little bit, but to your point, you know, looking elsewhere on the list, it's 352 and then 326, 312, 284, 450, 370, right? The trouble is not from the looks of, you know, just looking at the statistics, it's his expected goals are higher, his actual goals are higher, but there's not a massive disparity that really, you know, I think if you were thinking that something was broken, something was wrong, you know, there was something kind of structural at play, that's when you see those crazy splits of just picking on the poor guy. Jesper Wallstedt has it, and there's a sample size thing, so grain of salt, right? But Jesper Wallstedt has a goals against of 7 and expected goals against of 2.92, right? So you're not seeing anything that says, you know, this guy is the problem. It's just, yeah, the team is looser. I do think the injury played a fact. You know, it's very rare in the NHL that the instant a player is impaired, he leaves, right? Usually these guys try and suffer through it a little bit. So I don't think it's insignificant that he missed a pretty good chunk of time with a lower body thing. So, you know, he cleans it up a little bit in the second half of the season, and this team might just be cooking. They found the offense they need. If they can save a couple more goals, then, you know, you got to start asking yourself, what do they lack?
Well, and I think what we're doing on the defensive end is now we can kind of settle in, and not really with the injury to Jake Ottinger, but with the injury to Miro Heiskanen, you're seeing a team now that seems to be wanting to look at Heiskanen playing with Thomas Harley as kind of a killer.
Oh, and it's a good
pair. willing to try and use Lindell and Hakanpää as a shutdown pair. And then it really kind of boils down to whether Suter and Nils Lundqvist can turn into that third pair that we've hoped since the beginning of the season they could. And that potentially means less minutes for Suter, which I think we've shown throughout the season that if Suter isn't pushing 20 minutes a game, he can still be a useful defender. And if he can do something with Lundqvist and help Lundqvist release some of his offensive potential, then all of a sudden we're talking about a Stars team that at least in the regular season should be pretty successful at defense. And even if it isn't always just shutting down completely on the defensive end, you have some opportunities to score and get that defense participating and moving the puck off the ice.
I mean, it's early, right? And there is a sample size at play, but early returns on the Haskin and Harley pairing are that, you know, hide your eyes if you're the other team. These guys are it's all on the other end. It's all on the other net. They've been fantastic so far.
Well, and if you take a look at kind of the guys who are writing serious analytical stuff about NHL hockey, I've seen 3 or 4 pretty detailed pieces about how they're just absolutely in love with Harley and Heiskanen as a pair. So I think there's almost universal acclamation here that this is just awesome. And the question is whether Dallas can piece together 4 other players into 2 other pairs that will allow that to continue.
Yeah, and that's where you get into trouble, right? Because Esa Lindell and Jani Hakanpää it's the same stuff we've been talking about all season, right? They are limited, and they're technically the shutdown pair, and they play a lot of tough minutes. And as a result, you expect to see the ice tilting when they're on. But at the same time, you know, they have been on the struggle bus when it comes to getting the puck out of the zone, progressing it up the ice. And there is only so much defensive solidity can do for you if you can never get the puck out of threatening situations. So there is some valid concern that, okay, you can certainly load up Harley and Heiskanen and have a you know, elite number one pairing. But if we're being really honest, and if we're talking about the really elite teams in the NHL, if you lean on Hakanpaa and Lindell as your shutdown pairing, as your tough matchup pairing, are they going to undo whatever you gain putting Harley and Haskinen together?
Well, I don't think you have to lock yourself in a box here, though, because I think we've shown that the teams that really have success against Hakanpaa Lindell pairing are the ones that can just bring an absolutely ferocious forecheck.
Yeah, because they can't press the puck, right? You force them to have to beat pressure.
Right. But if you see that happening, there's absolutely nothing that stops Pete DeBoer from making an in-game adjustment and saying, hey, this pair is having trouble getting the puck out of the zone, and so we're going to make some changes so that we have pairs that have guys who can get the puck out of the zone. And so you make a minor adjustment. Your standard is you go in with pairings that we talked about earlier, but if need be, you make an adjustment in the middle of the game and deal with it.
Yeah, I think I've seen some things somewhere is you almost look at it. You almost look at it like double shifting a forward, and you've got your number one in Haskinen and your number two in Harley, and that is a pair. But the other pairs aren't so much the other four players as your top two defensemen spot starting with the other four players, and occasionally those other four players combining as well. Yeah, it's a little bit more of a, you know, it's like Harley and Haskinen are playing on a pair and a half. And I saw something, they've scaled back a little bit on Haskinen's penalty kill usage. And one of the rationale, without tweaking his ice time, and one of the rationales there is if you can save time on the penalty kill, then Haskinen is playing with Harley and also with Ryan Suter for part of the game. And Harley is playing with Haskinen and also, right? And that way you can kind of fake it and get a puck mover on every line because you're occasionally double shifting a couple of, and it, you know, they're in the age bracket to do it, right? If ever you can be double shifted, it's when you're a, you know, in your 20s, in your prime, you know, defensive player.
Yeah. And in fact, I was kind of arguing for the other after Haskinen came back and saying, you know, if you really want to scale Haskinen's numbers back, he's such a great penalty killer. While he was out, Thomas Harley was just as successful as Haskinen's been running that number one power play unit. And so there's, in my mind, a real reason to say, let's scale back Haskinen's time on the power play and maybe have him run second unit and put the major minutes with Harley, because we didn't see a drop off then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something to be said. If the power play is, you know, and obviously you know, if you're Miro, you probably want to be on the power play. And I think the other point that you made, if you can get Harley to take some of those minutes, then you're right. You could say that the penalty kill potentially looks much better with all world Miro Haskinen than it does with Jani Hakanpaa
Hakanpaa and Lindell are going to eat the majority of the PK minutes anyway. But if you take a look at the raw numbers, Haskinen is by far the best penalty killer on the Dallas Stars. And
well, he's just by far the best on the Dallas Stars.
Right. But I mean, it's sometimes, especially this year, the numbers don't really bear that out just because of the number of minutes that he's had and the pairings that he's been stuck with.
I was going to say, I will die on the hill of you have to take Miro's stats with a grain of salt, because for so very long, he has been the guy that is solving another problem. Thomas Harley might be the first time that the Dallas Stars as an organization have created a situation where it's, let's see what happens when Miro has help.
And I mean, here, and this is going to be off the top of my head, so don't force me on the specifics of these numbers, but the last Haskinen is allowing about 4 goals per 60 on the penalty kill, which is about half the team average. I mean, the numbers are just, you know, standard deviation twice over better than anybody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where you want him. That's a number that stands out away from any other defender we can put on the ice. And when you see an anomaly like that, I think you have to take advantage of it.
And I think you're right. And maybe hopefully finally they're starting to figure that out. And I want to talk about another X factor in all of this. And Mark, if I were to tell you that I could get defensemen with an expected goals for percentage of 52.8, right? So 52.8% or 0.08% of the goals happen for him when he's on the ice. So I can get you a defenseman who has almost 55.84% of the high danger chances go for his team when he's on the ice. Would you be interested in that player?
I'd look. Absolutely.
Yeah. That player's name is Nils Lundqvist. And there is a lot to unpack, right? But the reality is Heiskanen went out and Lundqvist went from playing, you know, went from being a lengthy scratch and from playing consistently in the, you know, 13 to 15 minute range to all of a sudden rattling off 19, 18, 16, 19. You know, he suddenly started playing big boy defenseman minutes and the wheels didn't fall off. And he did a lot of that with Ryan Suter. And this is not me saying, you know, it's Haskin and Harley and Lundqvist. This is me saying, is it insane if you're Jim Nill twirling your Jim Nill mustache of ice hockey wisdom, looking at it and saying very quietly so the jinx bugs can't hear you, maybe this guy can anchor a third pairing, right? Or at least, you know, you can run this guy out there and not get killed on your third pairing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've looked a little bit specifically at Lundqvist, and I think the big problem that the team has with him is that even with his bulking up a little bit over the summer, he can get pushed off the puck in the defensive end against the boards. And there were the last couple of games, there were some specific instances where he went into one-on-one and pretty much didn't make a dent in the forechecker. And so I think that's the big area of concern, and that's what leads to zone time. You know, once you get the puck on his stick and once you give him an opportunity to exit the zone, in particular, once you get him released in the offensive zone where he can use some of his creativity in his shot, then all of a sudden you're talking about a pretty high-level offensive defender.
And that's why I was trying to be careful. I didn't want to say, you know, hey, let's put, you know, forget this Haskin and Harley business. Let's put Haskin with Lundqvist. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I think he's, you know, a top two or even a top four guy. But if we're talking about the bottom, you know, the bottom pairing in a salary cap league, we're talking about, and by the way, the stats I quoted were 5-on-5. So just to be very clear, but you know, we're not talking about a guy that has to do it against the best competition. I'm just talking about in the situation we talk about where the heavy lifting is being done elsewhere in the roster. You know, can he be your 5-6, right? We talk about, you know, in the same way that, you know, Pete DeBoer, one of his responsibilities down the seat, it's asset management, right? Like he has an asset in the Lindell Hakanpaa pairing that has limitations and his job is to put them out there when they can help and to shepherd, you know, to kind of shield them when they can't. Is it not fair to look at Lundqvist in the same lens and say, yeah, there's some warts here and you can lean on this guy and he's going to struggle with physical teams and the forecheck, yada, yada, yada. But isn't good coaching also recognizing the other point of that, which is you get him in the transition, you get the puck on his stick, get him in the offensive zone. Is he a better player in two out of the three zones on the ice than Esa Lindell is at this point in his career?
I don't know. Interesting question. I mean, I'm kind of heartened by team's attitude toward Lundqvist after reading the interview that Sean Shapiro had with Jim Nill. And Nill was very positive about the progress that Lundqvist has been making. And I know that out in the fan community, you see all sorts of highs and lows. And there's been this talk that the team has given up on Lundqvist. And I think that is pretty much squashed at this point. And I think, you know, right now, I think the big issue is that you could probably get away with a second pairing of Esa Lindell and Nils Lundqvist. I think that has the opportunity to be fairly well, and the numbers kind of hold that up. But if you then take a look at this current team, the way it's configured, then all of a sudden you're talking about Ryan Suter and Jani Hakanpaa as a third pair, and that pairing has been a disaster.
So you can't do it. Well, to do that, I think we get it. You mentioned this earlier because you're prescient and brilliant and wonderful. But I think that the key to that is if you're in that situation, then your third pairing isn't Hakanpaa and Suter. Your third pairing, that's when you're shifting resource, right? You've got your first pair of Haskinen and Harley. You've got your second pair of Lindell and Lundqvist. And then you've got your third pair of Harley, Suter, Hawk and Paw and Haskins. You know what I mean? Like your third pair turns into that, you know, or your third pair is Lindell and, you know, and Hawk and Paw in certain, you know, your third pair turns into your situational pairing. Oh, we're on the penalty kill. It's going to be Lindell and Hawk and Paw. Oh, we've got an offensive zone faceoff, or I think we've got a good matchup. I'm going to throw Lundqvist and Suter out there. You know, it's that pair turns into reading the game and adjusting, because to your point, you're going to have to hide it. Cause I think you're right. Right. And I think it was, I may have been Saad. It may have been Castillo. I apologize. I'm misattributing this, but it may have been Shapiro, even somebody in the sphere. It must've been Shapiro or Castillo. This sounds much more like their analysis, but they made the point that one of the downsides of Harley's emergence is that with Harley getting time on the power play and Harley fitting in with Haskinen so well, it kind of ices out the most obvious role for Lundqvist, even though Lundqvist was playing better. If you can follow that logic, because again, it comes down
to... I follow that logic, but you know, that's maybe a discussion for over the off season, because I don't think also, that was going to happen this year.
Well, and I've got a hot take on that one.
Okay.
If you don't mind my takery, I'm going to heat up the old take factory. The easy take oven, we'll call it. My hot take is that's Pete DeBoer's job. And honestly, at this point, I think his job is to figure out how to keep Lundqvist on the ice, because they need him to soak up minutes. And I'm not saying first pair, second pair. I'm saying, you know, as a third pairing player, right? I think that the idea that you can't play Lundqvist more because Suter and Hawk and Paw has been a disaster is true, but I think the solution to that problem is a coach, and is a coach looking at the roster, and is a coach managing the assets that he has, versus I think it is close-minded and limiting to say, well, I guess we just can't use Lundqvist. Because if we use Lundqvist, then I have to put Suter and Hawk and Paw together, and that doesn't work, so I guess we can't do it.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, but I'm not, because I just fully expect the rest of the season to go Lundqvist and Suter, and really Lundqvist's job is to make sure that he's enough in the good graces of DeBoer, so that when it comes to be playoff time, that it's not Joel Hanley coming in game three and playing the rest of the playoff run.
I'm all for that. And I think that's your ideal. Like that's what DeBoer needs to figure out, because I do think that the benefit of the playoffs, right? You can shorten your bench, right? And once this team hits the playoffs, you really can lean inordinately on Haskinen and Harley. History tells us, right? Teams, especially on the back end, right? Remember when Anaheim won it with Niedermeyer and Pronger, and those guys just never left the ice. And so that's going to happen. You got to get there. And I think part of getting there is, you know, you're not prepping Lundqvist at this point to be, you know, capital T, capital G, the guy. You are prepping Lundqvist to be a guy that can reliably take 16, 17 minutes and not get you killed. And I believe that he is there if he is deployed correctly. And I think we've seen the blueprint to that. It's just a NHL coaching thing. Are they willing to do it?
Yep. And really, to tell you the truth, part of the battle here is also to get Haskinen playing 23 minutes a night as opposed to 25 to 26, mm-hmm. because you are going to lean on him in the playoffs and you don't want to have him wear out by the end. And,
yeah, you want him playing 26 minutes in June, not 26 minutes in February.
Yep. And so that's maybe one of the reasons, you know, the Stars have a little separation. They're certainly in a good playoff position. You maybe want to arrange yourself so you have an easier first round matchup. But at this point of the season, it means that Haskinen probably needs to have a few less minutes per night, because you don't need him to get you to the playoffs. And the same is true with Ottinger. And really, to tell you the truth, it's maybe a blessing in disguise that Ottinger was injured, because it showed DeBoer that Scott Wedgwood could come in and relieve Ottinger to the point where you aren't riding him that hard going into the playoffs, because you know you're going to do that in the playoffs.
And Mark, I'm firing tonight. I'm feeling it. I got my all-star break in, because the easy take oven, man. I got another one coming at you. I don't think Dallas should worry about seeding heading into the playoffs because I don't think that they're going to finish first or second. And beyond, in even second, right? So right now it's St. Louis in the eighth spot. You'd take that matchup. The Kings have been bad lately, but they were a fire-breathing dragon at one point in the season. Then you get into Edmonton, Vegas, Winnipeg. Like, I just, yeah, if you can go for it, and if you can get into Vancouver is riding a PDO bender for the ages, right? They're not going to. So it's one of those things where I think that this is one of the seasons where, in looking at the conference, finishing second, third, fourth, which seems, you know, likely, even fifth, which seems kind of likely for Dallas, I don't think that there is a significant difference in playoff matchups. Like right now, if you're Colorado, you're playing LA. That's not, you know, walking. Yep, you probably want to avoid Edmonton, but they may climb higher. But all I'm saying is the way that the West is put together, some seasons you want to push because there's some real, you know, some real dross in the playoffs. I think this is going to be a year where the West has, you know, six or seven strong teams. So it's much more important to come into the first round ready than it is to come into the first round in second place or first place.
Yeah. And I'd even take it a little further. I think last year, one of the things that really hurt Dallas down the stretch was that Minnesota series to start out, which was just a brutal slog. And at a certain point, you have a cumulative effect on your body as you go through this process. And Minnesota got Dallas a little further along in the physical abuse than they wanted to be. And then they had to totally adjust to play a speed game against Seattle, which threw things out of whack. And so by the time they ended up playing Vegas, they were a pretty beat up team.
The Minnesota Wild, really, they couldn't play with them. So they tried to beat them in. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't see an issue this year where you're going to have that physical series right up front, where you're going to take that inordinate amount of damage early on if you run into somebody. And if what we're talking about is just playing high level hockey, I think Dallas can play with anybody who's out there. And so you're right. I think, you know, it'd be nice to have home ice, but you know, this is a team that can win on the road. This is a team.
I'm sure Tom
is very veteran. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And really, like I said, just looking down it's Vancouver. This is funny. Reading the winning streaks in the Western Conference right now. Win one, win three, win three, lose one, win 16, win one, lose one. That's your playoff field, right? So, you know, even let's say the playoffs were starting tomorrow, right? And Dallas is in the unenviable position of having to face the, you know, 10-0-0, 16-game winning streak Edmonton Oilers, right? Is that matchup any more daunting and brutal in the second or third round than it is in the first? Like there's a part of me that says, if you're going to get into that kind of nightmare matchup, wouldn't you rather it early than later? Because early you're at least, you know, yeah, you could get lucky and somebody on the other team could get hurt, but so could you, right? So at least in the first round, you presumably have all of your faculties about you.
Yeah, you know, and to tell you the truth, Edmonton doesn't worry me as much as some of these other teams, because Dallas has Miro Heiskanen, and Heiskanen, yep, is a wild card against. He's probably the one or handful of defenders in the entire NHL who can go head to head with Connor McDavid.
And
the thing about Edmonton is Edmonton going to goalie you? I don't think so.
Well,
Dallas is competitive here. Yeah.
So you want to, if you have to play them, you kind of want to play them at a moment where Haskin and Harley are going, and you've got the first line, and you've got the Duchesne line, and you've got, you know, Ben and Wyatt Johnston. Like it's kind of one of the, so my point being, it's not that it's an easy matchup. It's that outside of 7 and 8, and seven, even the Kings, right? Like they've been really good at points this season. Really, the only, if you look at the Western playoff field, the only one of those teams right now that you look at, you know, it's again, we're talking goal differential, right? Plus 59 Vancouver, right? 37, 32, 39, 25, 36, 20, negative 12, right? So there's kind of one patsy there, and you're not going to get that. That's done. You're not going to, they're at 71 points. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but you're not going to leapfrog what, four teams and make up a, you know, 5-point deficit with with this much season to play, unless you go on an all-time heater, in which case, if you're that good, it doesn't matter who you're matched up against.
Yeah, well, unless you're the Milwaukee Admirals, but that's kind of inside AHL stuff. No, as far as I'm concerned, let's get Vegas and Edmonton in the first round. Yep. In my mind, that's ideal. One, it's going to be fun to watch, and two, it takes care of one of the two.
So that is a very long-winded way of saying kind of what we've been talking about as a general theme is I think that the Stars are in a position where, you know, they've got separation where they need to, right? They're not likely to fall into that, you know, 7-8, 6-7-8 muck. So focus on getting it right. You know, focus on being healthy. Don't obsess about finishing in the top slots in the conference, because the reward will likely outweigh the effort to get there. Instead, just focus on getting all your pairing, getting everything set, and being kind of ready to go.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's take a little break here and then come back and maybe talk a little bit about Wyatt Johnston up on the top line.
I love it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, Mark, you teased it. And I'm glad you did, sir, because one move heading into the break right around the time, it wasn't that the first line was necessarily playing poorly, but they weren't what we've been used to. So Pete DeBoer, after his patience, made the switch, threw Wyatt Johnston alongside Hintz and Robertson. And, you know,
kaboom.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me one word for the result. He's been fantastic. Tell me what you see there.
I think that you just have a lot of hockey IQ guys that see the game a couple steps ahead, and as a trio, that's just a joy to watch. What more could you want? Yeah, three other lines exactly like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? They already have one line that's pretty much like it with Duchesne and Sagan. So the thing that I found interesting about it is you hear a lot of talk about Wyatt Johnston's style, and a couple of things have stood out to me watching the early returns. The first is that one of the repeated comments about Johnston is he is able to find space. He's able to read his line mates and fill in holes in the ice, which sounds a lot like his roommate Joe. The other thing is he's a better shooter than I think you maybe initially are aware of. And then the third bit is he's a playmaker. He's a creative player. And so you think about the configuration of that line, right? And you have Hintz with the wheels. Hintz can shoot as well. Robertson is again, another slow the play down, you know, playmaker shooter. And then you have Johnston, who's a kid that can kind of read the other two, right? So you've got a high-end athlete, high-end physical player in Rupe Hintz. And then you've got two players that are just experts at creating and exploiting space, which, as we're seeing, is just a really good recipe to have in a hockey forward line.
Yeah. What more can you say? This is, you know, three weeks in or whatever it is now. And I don't know that there's a whole lot more to delve into on the Stars' top two lines. It's really now the question is, what are you going to do with your third line? Is Steele a solution between Ben and Pavelski? And is there anything that you can tweak on the fourth line to make it slightly more effective? And if what you're doing is talking about tweaking third and fourth line issues to make your team a little better, you have a pretty good team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're doing when you're an elite contending team, right? You're not sitting in a situation thinking, how are we going to make the playoffs? You're sitting in a situation thinking, what is the best version of ourselves for when we make the playoffs? And the other thing that really heartens me as a Dallas Stars fan, and we've talked before, right? This is a team that has been able to transition from the, you know, Sagan Ben Spezza era to the Sagan Ben Radulov era to the Pavelski Hintz Robertson era to, you know, this is a team that has continually been able to reinvent itself. And all of a sudden you've got a first line with, you know, I think, what is it? Hintz is the old man on that trio and he's 27.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah, and that's without even getting into one thing I want to talk about is you could argue that two of the Stars' most promising offensive forwards haven't even played in the NHL this season.
Yeah, it is quite true, and so that's why you see the conversations about okay, when are we going to see Logan Stankoven and when are we going to see Maverick Bork? If you want to question how you're going to solve the problem of who's going to center that third line, plugging in Bork is kind of a pretty easy answer, and Stankoven potentially as well. That, you know, slightly different games, but you could see both easily melding with Ben and Pavelski and being very effective.
Yeah, I mean, you could see Stankoven melding with a lot of people at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you say, well, Stankoven's kind of small, and Bork's not quite as small. But, you know, who better than the captain to kind of usher him into to NHL hockey? You know, that's one of the things that Ben took on himself when Wyatt Johnston started. He got to be big brother.
Yeah, and as well, I think with size, right? I think
absolutely.
You can get, and just also, like, you can get away, when we talk about players, when we talk about player size, right? You can get away with being undersized in the NHL. It is not an automatic by itself disqualifier. What I don't think you can get away with is as a team being undersized in the NHL. And Dallas does have the advantage of you can, if you call Stankoven up, it's not like he's playing on a line with physically limited player. You can play him with Jamie Benn. You can play, you know, the guys he'd be playing with, you know, Jason Robertson even isn't a slouch. Hence, it's like you can put him in a situation where he's the smallest player on his line, and that's probably going to be fine.
You know, my personal preference here is that if it was a choice and you were specifically bringing somebody in to put between Ben and Pavelski, I think Bork makes a little more sense because of the game that he brings and his ability to see the ice and to distribute the puck. And I think Kim with Ben and Pavelski opens up a lot more options than Stankoven, who is going to be really tough going to the crease, but you already have guys who can go to the crease in that area, guy who's going to go to the boards. You know, a good sniper, but you have snipers on that line already. And so I think, you know, as opposed to tripling down on some skill sets with Stankoven, with Pavelski and Ben, if you had Bork in there as a creative center, it opens things up significantly.
Yeah, and that's, I think, when you get into, and we kind of had the more better conversation around why Jake Ottinger is an all-star. I think part of this, and I want your opinion, because you certainly are much more plugged in on the Texas Stars side of things than I am, but the rep right now for people when they talk about Bork and Stankoven isn't so much a conversation about one being better than the other as it is a conversation about, you know, as a guy that is ready to step onto an NHL roster and compete across that roster, Bork has had a little bit of a lead because he is perceived to be more of a 200-foot player, right? He's more versatile.
Yeah, and I mean, he has an extra year as a professional. Yeah. There's all sorts of things there. I think the one thing that you miss here, if you're looking at it from an AHL level, is that there's so much talk about Bork and Stankoven as a pair. And just on a pure skill level, those two together are dynamite in the AHL. But I think that their path in the NHL is going to be different. And I really don't see them playing together once you get to the NHL level. I think Bork will meld better with a group that needs a creative person. And God, I would love to see Stankoven in the Marchment slot with Duchesne and Sagan.
Oh, yeah. And to be very, very clear, that statement, I don't think even the answer is, well, Stankoven needs to get better. And even if he's, even let's assume that it's true for a second, right? That's not to say that Stankoven can't play in the NHL because he's not going to be a penalty killer,
yeah.
Right? There are plenty of players, elite players in the NHL that aren't penalty killers, right?
Well, and if you take a look at what Neil Graham does down in Cedar Park, Neil Graham does not keep people away from the penalty kill. You name the guy, you know, on Texas, and they're on the PK at least at some point.
Yeah, he does a good job of running, getting those guys ready. So all of this is to say, right, that I think that you're probably right. Bork is the most plug and play option, but I'd sure like to see both of them.
Yeah. Well, and we just may have to wait till next year.
Well, and that was where I was going to go. I think that one of the last things to talk about is, you know, we do have, it's a little bit early. And I know you've got a take, so I want to set you up to, you know, you've got something in the easy take as well. We do have the trade deadline coming up, and Dallas was able to avoid doing something while Haskinen was hurt. So they're probably going to have some cheddar to work with as far as a stretch run acquisition goes. You see, you know, Monahan to the Jets, right? You see other teams in the conference starting to load up. What, if anything, has changed? So right now, right, the deadline cap, they're projecting to have about $2 million of space at the cap. That's if nothing else goes out. And you can get something for that, especially in South. So what about, if anything, has changed about Dallas's approach?
Well, I think the one thing that you have to look at is with some of the deals that have happened here over the All-Star break, the prices are pretty high right now.
Yeah.
And so that has to be at least a little concerning if what you're thinking is that you're going to pick up a really solid, hopefully right-handed defender at the trade deadline to kind of fill that gap. So that's the one thing that maybe you're a little concerned about. The closer you get to the deadline, the prices will adjust. You
know, jump in really quickly here and mm-hmm. say this to me is why getting use out of Lundqvist is so valuable. Even if you're not going to use him long term, it's perception, right? Perception influences price. And if you're the Dallas Stars at the deadline and it is perceived that you do not trust Lundqvist, will not play Lundqvist, then that is going to impact your price on the market, because a team dealing with you is going to look at you and say, okay, well, if you say no to this, you're going to roll with playoff Joel Hanley. Right. And that's not to disparage Joel Hanley. I just mean that's going to, if you come into the deadline as Dallas and you found a way to turn Lundqvist into a functional player, you can drive the price down, because at the very least you can pretend that you're willing to walk away and keep things status quo, because you have six guys and you have an extra, and you can with a straight face say, listen, that's a bad deal. I like where we're at. You know, I like this group, insert GM catches him here, right? If you can't get Lundqvist useful, then all of a sudden you're the team with five players and two part-time guys, and you're having to have that same conversation. The team you're talking to says, yeah, okay, if you walk away from this deal, what are you going to do? And that's going to make it tougher to swing something. It just is. It's the market.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that I always keep in the back of my mind is that Jim Neal is going to do, he's going to find himself a defender who may not be the first guy off your tongue when you're mentioning names. And he's going to find somebody who fits with the program, is the right type of player. And he'll go off the board a little bit. You know, certainly last year with the Dodonov signing, that was not something that, you know, everybody was saying, yeah, that's a guy who's going to be coming into Dallas at the trade deadline. Yeah, it's somebody that, you know, DeBoer had some experience with and fit the personality of the team. And so I think Jim Neal will find somebody like that. And it may not be the high impact like Chris Tanev or something like that that everybody's kicking around. But it's probably going to be somebody who we're going to say, that's interesting. That makes sense.
And again, that also gets easier if you're at a point where you're getting some use out of Nils Lundqvist, because you don't need the guy that is the slam dunk, I'm going to fix your life home run. You know, you don't need to hit it out of the park and pay premium over premium dollars for the flashy name, because if you've got the Harley Haskinen thing sorted out, and if you're finding the right way to shelter the rest of the group, right, then you can afford to be a little bit more nuanced in your pickup. And again, you're picking up a specialist. You don't need it to be a, you know, top pairing right-handed guy that can play in all situations, because there's a stark limit of those dudes. Maybe you just need a right-handed player that can play on your power play, or a right-handed penalty killer. You know what I mean? Like you can start to accept some flaws, which again moves you down a tier in the guy that you need, which moves you down a tier in the assets that you're expending to get him, which I think is where you want to be.
Yep. Yeah, I fully agree. And you know, to tell you the truth, this is why I'm at a point now with a month or plus a few days before the trade deadline.
This is the take I was waiting for. So get the machine rolling.
As somebody who writes about Dallas Stars hockey, as somebody who thinks about it a lot and is plugged in on the various conversations that are going on, I'm going to take a month off. It's like, I don't need to rehash Jake Oettinger. I don't need to try and rearrange the decks on the Titanic or anything like that until the trade deadline hits. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy watching Dallas Stars hockey as a fan, because we've kind of killed all the stories out there. This team is good. They have the pieces that they need. They have the potential to add some things, but they aren't really going to do it for another month. And so that tells me, why worry about it? Why reinvent the wheel? Unless you're doing a nice little Sean Shapiro sit down with Jim Neal, you aren't going to be adding anything to the content that's already out there. And so sit back, enjoy, watch hockey, and we'll deal with it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think to your point, right, this team isn't perfect. There is stuff going on, but it's nothing that you're going to fix overnight. And it's very possible that in some strange way, thanks to the Haskinen injury, but it's very possible that you are already fixing it and just waiting for those fixes to play out. So I think you're right. I think if we're Stars fans, we've got some stuff we've already talked about. Yeah, it'd be fantastic to get Stankoven and Bork in the lineup. And it's interesting to see what the Ben unit's going to do, and watching the defensive pairs shake out now that Haskinen is back and a bunch of those things. But like you said, I don't think that there's anything so amazingly structural that the team is going to react in February. And so you're right. We're probably looking a month of assessment and a month of growth and a month of planning. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah. And
so, tune in next week. We'll have plenty of time.
Plenty of time to kick over the same things we kicked over this week. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. As a Stars fan, I'd count this as a blessing. It's not very often that you have a whole month sitting out there where you aren't up in arms about needing to fix something or this is off or that is off. Hockey's fun to watch. Let's watch it.
I wish more of the NHL had that perspective. We are such an insular, weird group as hockey fans, but hockey is fun. Let's watch hockey. All right, so
that's my profound take for the month.
Well, I'm gonna make you go on record, because we've had so much fun with this in the past. I'm gonna force you into an awkward situation. I'm just looking for two takes, two simple takes, Mark. I'd like you to give me one that is reasonable and kind of an actual kind of opinion projection of how you might see things developing over the second half of the season. And then I want you to go off board and something, don't do like insanity for the sake of insanity, but maybe it's something you hope happens, or, you know, give me something crazy and give me some, we'll call it crazy and lazy, right? Give me something lazy. Give me something crazy.
My lazy pick is that I could say that the Yanni Hakanpaa heater ends maybe my other side of that is that Esa Lindell is going to set a points record for himself this year.
Oh, okay. What would you know what that points record would be?
No. So I think it's maybe 9 goals and maybe just 25 points, 28 points. I have no idea.
I like it.
But I maybe he'll break 30 this year. He's been distributing the puck at an amazing rate.
I mean,
and God knows he's going to get the ice time and he'll step up and score a couple goals because everybody's trying to shut down Harley Heiskanen.
My favorite play of the season, and I wish I could remember who the forward that scored the goal was, but it was Lindell cleared the puck, hit a defensive player in the hip, and then that deflection landed on the stick of a star for a breakaway goal. It might have been Hintz. One of Essa's primary assists was the most Esa Lindell assist of all time. That it was a blasted clearance that hit something and just fell flawlessly. So I love that. I think here's mine. My lazy take is that Jake Oettinger is fine, and that, you know, he may not be playoff Oettinger all of the time, but my lazy take is he's fine. He's going to be fine. Dallas is going to get excellent goaltending down the stretch and in the playoffs. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
My crazy take is move over Philippe Boucher. Thomas Harley is going to take over the number one spot as in terms of goal scoring for a Stars defenseman.
Ooh.
Especially,
yeah, it can happen.
It can, especially if he's playing with Miro. Just imagine, dream with me for a moment, Mark. You put any of the really, maybe even all four, but you know, any of the three Dallas kind of offensive lines, right? The Duchesne line, Sagan line, the Hintz line, Robertson line, and the Ben and now Pavelski, I guess, line. And then you have Heiskanen, and then you have Harley, right? And Harley, so far, right, he's that late charging fourth attacker, gets into the slot. All of a sudden, he's playing with four guys that are almost just purpose-built to do the thing that sets Harley up for the goals that he's scoring. And I don't think it is at all out of the realm of possibility that Miro coming back kicks him up a notch rather than maintain or kind of fall back. I think this just might be one of those seasons. He's a good player anyways, but this just might be one of those situations where Dallas has stumbled into the best possible deployment pattern for Thomas Harley. And he's going to get 20 goals.
Wow. And, you know, I'm just sick and twisted enough to think, as soon as you say that, I said, oh, that's going to kill next year's performance bonuses.
Yeah, it's not good.
We're already eating Pavelski's cap on the $2 million. And if Harley hits all of his, this team is not going to have enough money to spend for next year.
Yeah, well, that's a problem for another day. And hey, guess what? I guess we have something to talk about over the back half of the season anyways.
There you go. We'll talk money. There's always room for talk about that.
Well, speaking of talk, we do have a couple programming notes I want to get to before we close out. We are welcoming Steven back. We're going to have a Texas Stars special. We're recording it tomorrow night, so stay tuned to your internet radio dials. We're going to dive into the farm team. Lots of fascinating things happening with the Texas Stars. And then we will be back to our regular Puckcast stargazing schedule. We'll be recording on Friday, so we should be here and ready to rock and roll for the rest of the season with, according to Mark, nothing to talk about. So really look forward to that, guys.
It's gonna be a monologue by Wes. I think the ratings may go up.
Oh, they're fantastic already.
Yep.
Thank you for your insight, Mark, for your expert take. Again, congratulations for the podcast skills competition. KT, you're the best in the business for making this thing coherent, axing out all the square words and just keeping us on time. And like us, download us, listen to us, talk to us. We need affirmation. Do the things that make us feel loved. Podcast over.
Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.